again, and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. I'm Mark Guidi, and I am joined by our very own Simon Ferry. Simon, good morning.
How are you doing? All right?
I'm good.
Good, mate.
You're looking a bit nervous, and I'm not surprised given that the man that's sitting to your left-hand side here, we've knocked it off again, aren't we?
Top man.
A man with 45 years experience in the sharp end of journalism, broken some of the biggest stories.
Broken a few hearts as well.
He's broken more than a few hearts. Been in the front pages day after day after day. But I don't know if we'll be able to tell this story on air, but one of his things that's given the most satisfaction in his career, he was actually the entertainment officer at Butlins for one summer. It's Mr. Chick Young, by the way. Mr. Chick Young. It's Charles is with us.
And just, Simon, because I saw you play, so if I'm on your left, it's just over this way. So it's tactical, you know where you're going with this. And it's a lifetime ambition achieved for me to be interviewed by Mark Guidi. That's all I dreamt of as a boy.
Big time now, mate.
So it's just brilliant. I was media officer for Butlins at Ayr. I had the choice of any camp, as they were called in these days, they certainly weren't that, to do the media for, and I've chose Ayr, my home, in this great summer of 76, but we won't be going to that at any point in this great football debate.
It was a shame you had to give it up.
It was, really. You go back.
It'd be great. Imagine getting back to do that now.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, we've got a great 45 minutes ahead of us. I know you're going to stay with us. We're going to speak about the tragic events at Leicester City at the weekend, and we'll pay our own tribute to the Leicester City owner Vichai and the other people who tragically lost their lives in the helicopter accident. We're also going to speak about the Cup semi-finals, the League Cup semi-finals, Aberdeen v Rangers, Celtic v Hearts. We'll get Chick and Simon's view on that and the final coming up, and we will also look at some of the games in midweek, in particular the Hearts Hibs Edinburgh derby. And also, since we've got Charles with us, it would be remiss not to talk about his first love, St Mirren, and how they're going to go on against Motherwell, and what's going to be a big game there too. And we will speak about James McArthur's decision to retire from international football after gaining 32 caps. So we'll crack on. Leicester City, Chick, big news, whole of Saturday evening, and the way it was handled by the media was very good, but also as well, just your own thoughts on the tragic incident.
Yeah, well, it's a tragedy, Mark. I mean, it's just a tragedy, full stop. It's not just a football issue. It's just a dreadful thing to happen. You know, I thought the first I heard of it was watching Match of the Day Saturday night. I thought Gary Lineker handled the whole situation absolutely brilliantly, actually, and the BBC for that matter. But of course, that's a mere aside when you think of what has happened to this guy. And you know, people come in and they take over clubs, and whether they're sheikhs or, you know, just multi-billionaires, or in his case, a man from the Far East. But he's clearly done a lot for not just Leicester City as a football club, but Leicester as a town. I know he invested in the hospital, invested money all around the community. So it's just a tragic loss. And I don't particularly feel it as a football issue. And the other thing when you heard the story was that when the helicopter crash, you think, oh my God, it's a helicopter outside a packed stadium. The pilot has clearly been a hero in this and taken it to an industrial area. And it was a miracle that no one in the ground was killed, or, you know, it's just a dreadful, shocking, evil story. But these things happen, sadly. We're also in the week where there's a fight in Indonesia with nearly 200 people being killed in an aircraft. So it's sad. It's a terrible fact of life, and indeed death. But here we have a man who will be remembered not for just what he did for the football club, but for the community, not just Leicester as a town, but the Leicester Shire as well. I believe he put a lot of money into it. Another good man lost, and it's an absolute, literally crying shame. And you saw the emotions of the players, of course his family and the fans. It's just absolutely dreadful. And I thought, you know, it just crossed my mind that last night the Mahrez would score for Manchester. It just seemed to be one of these things. You know, it was written in the stars that Mahrez would score for my Leicester player, of course, score for Manchester City, and so it came to pass. Just dreadful.
As Chick said there, Simon, watching Sky Sports, and they've covered it very well too, live at the ground, and they got some students there as well that he has funded to bring over and put onto courses, all different sorts of courses. So he's right. I mean, he's clearly, he was a very rich man, but he's used his money very well and given the chance for other people to have things in life too.
Exactly. I mean, any club that I've been at, you never even meet the owner, you know, and it just seemed like this guy was completely for Leicester City, for Leicester the place. Even watching Sky Sports, wee guy, he was on saying that his wife and kids had died and the chairman had completely looked after him, you know, helped him with the funeral, done it at the stadium, then looked after him after it as well. So definitely a one-off in today's game, especially in that Premier League. I mean, you'd be surprised if owners even went to the games in that league, but that guy just seemed like an absolute diamond eye guy. And even Sven-Göran Eriksson was saying that he used to take him for lunch in London, and he would say to him after, "No, I need to buy you something. You need a new coat, Sven." He would take him and buy him a new coat. Just he says he was just one of the most generous guys ever, and I think the reaction of the players pretty much summed it up.
And yet, he does leave behind, Chick, that, and I know you're right about football and it shouldn't really come into it, but he does leave behind the legacy that he was there when they became, you know, one of the greatest ever footballing stories, 2016 when Leicester won the Premiership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A miracle. And sometimes you think in life, you know, if there's a good Lord, he gives you one thing and takes away from the other. I don't know if other people believe that, but sometimes you think there's fate involved in all of that. I mean, the Leicester story, I mean, 100 years from now, they'll be telling the story how 5,000-1 winners. When you think about it, and the further we get from it happening, I think the more remarkable a story it becomes. I mean, is anyone going to see Manchester, not Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, anyone else going to win the league in years to come? Yet Leicester City did it against 5,000-1 odds to be actual. But it's an astonishing story, and it will go down in the realms of history 100 years from now, when I don't think we'll be doing this podcast. People will still be talking about it and remembering what that man, and it wouldn't have happened without that man's wealth.
That's his legacy, isn't it?
And as Claudio Ranieri said this morning too, who was the manager then, of course, he said that, you know, Vichai's sad passing, that, you know, he's been left badly shaken with it, and you can understand, because although they sacked him 9 months later, but they would have had a wonderful relationship.
See, all that's just another factor that Leicester City would produce a miracle and then sack the manager. All just is that short time later, all becomes part of that. People again will look back. It's like, in fact, it's much worse than Vladimir Romanov sacking George Burnley after, was it 9 wins? You know, you Hearts fans still must wonder what might have happened. Leicester City, Ranieri, and the relationship he had with them, a remarkable story. And now we sit and ruminate on it all because of this tragic death of this poor man.
The game, the Carabao Cup game against Southampton has been postponed tonight. Possibility that the league game, Premiership game against Cardiff City will be postponed on Saturday. As you said, Simon, earlier, as a footballer, you very rarely get to know the owners, but can you understand that if players are, if there has been that tight relationship, that they should be allowed a proper period of mourning?
Definitely. I mean, I think, as Chick says, most of the players now that are there were still there when they won the league. And there's a special bond with the guy. You know, they've shared something together, something really special. So he's made a big mark on their lives, and I've heard them saying how much he looked after their families and how much an interest he took in their families. So definitely, because I'll just take it back to when Tommy Burns died, you know. If Celtic weren't playing for the league that week, I don't think the game would have went ahead, because for 2 or 3 days the place was so down. There was a real dark crowd hanging over Lennox Town, but they had to do it because obviously scheduling and stuff like that, but it'll hit the players hard, and I'd imagine that the game at the weekend will be called off, because it'll be tough for the guys.
Yeah, but I think whatever the one thing the football authorities will do, and Cardiff City as well, check is whatever Leicester decide, they'll abide by.
Absolutely, and it's not just a man dying, it's the circumstances under which it happened, and a town has been stunned, so of course it's absolutely the right thing to do, and I can't believe anyone would object to that.
Well, certainly here at Open Goal, our thoughts are with Vichai and the four other people who tragically lost their lives on Saturday night at Leicester City's King Power Stadium. Okay, we'll move on. On Sunday, we had a massive day, Super Sundays it was known, the League Cup semi-finals. First of all, it was Celtic v Hearts and Aberdeen v Rangers. But if we start with the Aberdeen v Rangers game, one of your colleagues on BBC, Charles, and a good friend of ours, Derek Ferguson, in with the Aberdeen supporters, and he watched his son Lewis score the winning goal. Fantastic for them, eh?
Yeah, you know, Rangers are the only team for me, unless I'm at the Aberdeen end of a century. Tapped. I think we understand the family tie thing and all that. It was an enthralling game. I've got one of my buddies, one of my best mates, has lived in England for a long time, and he watches the games down there, and he watched the state of Scottish football. And I said, well, you know, having watched some of the Premiership games, watched La Liga a lot, Mark, as you know, and yeah, the quality's not great, but here we had a situation where, 120,000 people nearly were engaged for two semi-finals. That is an astonishing statistic. Mm-hmm. And the games were, as I said, engaging for, I mean, I thought the Celtic Hearts game was bizarre. I didn't think it was a penalty. The goalkeeper reminded me of you at your best. And the third goal by Ryan Christie was magnificent, but the game was done and dusted by then, you know.
Just to rewind there a second. You don't think it was a penalty?
No, I don't.
Oh, Charlie, come on.
Oh, come on all night. I don't think it was a penalty.
No?
I really don't think it was. I mean, I'm surprised at you. I mean, I can see an opinion, but where we were watching it, we were split.
I have to say, it did take me one or two attempts, but one of the angles you can see clearly, it looks like he's taken just below the knee. There's definite contact going right across.
But I think if the referee's in the position he's in and he gives it, then it's a penalty. You know, if his position's blocked, but he's 5 yards for
the. So the referee thinks it's a penalty.
Well, if he knows the rules of the game. And if he deems that a penalty, with the view he's got, then for me, it's a penalty.
Laws of the game.
If he sees that as a penalty with a clear view, then for me, it's a penalty. He puts his foot in the box, he doesn't touch the ball. Hmm. It's a penalty.
Well, apparently it was a penalty because they took it and they scored from it, so it was a penalty. But the second goal, the goalkeeping, I have no idea what was happening there. When you were a St. Mirren legend, you need to explain that to me.
Oh, we'll get to that later on. As you well know, Charlie, was a pie stall named after me at the old Love Street.
That's because I never had a custard one.
He's taking his own and he's moving away from the script. Aberdeen Rangers were on. So, Aberdeen Rangers, Si. Derek was on with you on the William Hill Cooten programme on Thursday with Frank McAvery, and you could see that he wanted his boy to do well. Big game at Hampden, and you must be chuffed for Derek as well.
Anyone that knows, I love the two of them, Frank and Derek. I think they're two of the top men. I even say about Derek last year when we were in the playoffs. First text I received on the Saturday morning of the game was for Derek. All the best today, pal. And he was starting to get a bit emotional when he was talking about it on the Cooten show, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see them on Thursday just to hear what he's got to say and what Frank's got to say as well. But I text him after the game just to say, delighted for you, mate. And he's straight back saying, thanks very much, so happy.
I spoke to him yesterday and he said, Charlie, we were sitting at the game. His wife, Carol, we lose his mother. And she says at the end, he said, I had to hold her down the seat. So she's wanting to get up and run and jump over the wall and go into trackside.
It'd be good if she'd been lifted.
And he says, I have to cover this. She said, no, we'll see him. And she was wanting to huddle over.
What about business by Aberdeen? I know Hamilton Lewis was not offered a lot of money to stay at the club. Mm-hmm. And Aberdeen saw the opportunity and spotted a player. Now, I thought, I've known the lad growing up and I've watched him and heard Derek talk about him. He used to come at the games when Derek was running the BBC as a boy and sit with us. He's a lovely lad. But I just think the progress is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that header, to go and win that. You know, you're talking about the Cooten show. You wouldn't have seen Steve Gerrard's Cooten. I was just behind the technical area, and you know, because Rangers, it came in the wake of Rangers having an unbelievable period of pressure and the opportunity, but they have no one with a cutting edge. They took a chance in Sadiq, who actually did all right early on. But a naivety about him, Mark. I thought running into offside positions, bend your run. You know, you learn it time after time. It's like an amateur player just making the wrong run, not making the right run, but not bending it. Mm-hmm. And you think, goodness sake. And I just thought Rangers didn't capitalise. It was a bit like the Moscow Spartak game. I wasn't at that game, but I was sitting watching my gentleman's club with a couple of my chums having a shandy. And Rangers
living the life, innit?
Rangers were pummeling Spartak Moscow, and I'm, you know, on my friend's William Hill app, I think about 20 minutes to go, say, Rangers were 17-5 to score the next goal, and they were passing, And I risked a couple of shillings in that. So, and I couldn't believe, the point I'm making is, it was there for Rangers. I thought, why is he not going Middleton and Lafferty? Mm-hmm. I think Stephen Gerrard knows much, has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, but you're looking at that and saying, that was there, turn the knife, or get it in, and turn the knife on Spartak Moscow. They were pummeling them, and the boy Middleton, for me, creates things. He gave him 5 minutes, he created one chance towards the end. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lafferty, I'm sure, would have caused all sorts of torment in their box. Didn't happen, lost chance. Don't know whether they'll progress in Europe. Draw is not a bad result, but a win would have been fantastic. Well, again, here at Hampden on Sunday, they had all that pressure, and you just, I must admit, I didn't see Aberdeen, I didn't see the sting coming. But I thought we're going to extra time here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just don't seem to be able to.
So you think you should have made it a change quicker, sooner?
Wait, I don't think I would point the finger so much on Sunday, because they were all over, but the Spartak Moscow game, I mean, Lafferty wasn't, the options were there in the European game because Lafferty was on the bench. Mm. They didn't have a striker option. That was the issue. So he's shy, and Morelos, and I was a big critic of Morelos. I think I've got to back off a wee bit. The boy's improved an awful lot.
Oh, aye, big time.
And I thought he was.
They missed him. They missed him big time.
That's right. I mean, I never thought I'd ever say Rangers missed Alfredo Morelos, but they did.
Yeah, and again, it comes down to his own stupidity as well for the booking that cost him. I was here at Hampden on Sunday for Rangers Aberdeen Simon, and as Chick says, the thing that struck me time after time, they get into great positions in the final third, sometimes in the penalty box of the band, but their final ball to pick that final pass to lay it on a plate for somebody, okay, maybe the guy with the ball's not getting the proper runs or the timing, but they were so wasteful with that final ball from 10-12 yards from goal.
I think when Morelos is in the box, his movement's really good. You know, when the ball goes wide, he's always on his the back of the defenders to make that run, whereas Big Sadiq seemed to me to be a big lump of wood standing. And that's McKenna and Devlin's bread and butter.
Yes.
Putting balls in the box, he'll head them all day. And I thought they two were really good. Yeah. As you say, Rangers dominated the game, but when the ball came out in the box, there was only two guys that were going to header it, and it was McKenna and Devlin.
You're right, Simon. I was doing the interviews trackside with BBC, so I was right behind the Rangers technical, and I'm looking up, and Ali McCoist was working for BT Sport, and I'm thinking to myself, even now that we play six sides with Mark, he's in, put him in our box, I'm sure he'd get one of them in the net. Just a natural finisher, if it comes off his back, his big fat backside, because then something would happen. They don't.
It's that wee half yard.
I'd even put a wee Middleton up there and just tell him to run the channels, or maybe something a bit different. But going with Sadiq for the full game.
Exactly, Simon. I was surprised that he stuck with Sadiq for that because it wasn't like they were going, he was even going route one. He didn't strike me as being actually very good in the air either. His movement wasn't great. He does have a great opportunity to score, and he decides to go down and take a dive rather than stay on his feet. So I thought he might have mixed. Even throwing Goldson or something up front just something different.
I even thought bringing Arfield on earlier, because Arfield makes good runs into the box in midfield, whereas I don't think Ajari is a goal scoring midfielder. I think Arfield maybe would have gave Devlin and McKenna a bit of a problem with a cut back or something. They would have to watch for Arfield, maybe give Sadiq a bit more room. But
it's funny, Sammy, because we thought we'd come out of that game, had Rangers won, people asking questions about Dennett McInnes, and he's got them to the final, which is all he had to do. And suddenly you're looking at Steven Gerrard, and for all the high and the hype and all the rest of it, he's got the same number of points as Pedro Coutinho had after the same number of games at this point of the season. And you know what Coutinho was getting now? We know he's done well
in Europe.
And you'd be blind not to look at the bigger picture and say, they have progressed. But how far have they progressed? There are still questions. And I know it's very early in his career, and I'm not suggesting for one second that Steven Gerrard is not the answer for Rangers, but I think what I'm saying is that there's still a long way to go.
A long way. When you look at the way Celtic are clicking, but he certainly, you know, as I've always said, I think he uses his media conferences very well and always puts a specific message out there that gets picked up, and the line was clear on Sunday. Charlie, it was, you know, the players step up or leave, because
I'm not going
to be me, so it'll be you. So, you know, and the fact that they've got that, as you say, that European financial windfall, £8-10 million, whatever it may be, he's going to have to go into the market in January, isn't he?
Absolutely, and it's how they respond to the situation they're in. You know, they're still obviously still very much in the league race, and I had a feeling weak notion that Rangers might have won one of the cups. They're not clearly not winning that one, the Betfred. So it's down to what they do in the Scottish Cup now. And but would you from where they are now, would you tip them to win the league? Not for me. So they're going to have to make an impact somewhere. And if they get out of the group in the Europa League, then that is brilliant. But I think they'll look back at that Spartak Moscow game at Ibrox and think that was a lost 2 points.
A number nine, somebody to push Morelos, you know, and because there's clearly, I know Lafferty's there, but Lafferty sometimes plays more out in the left hand side and through the middle. So another number nine coming in would have to be one of the targets in January.
Definitely. I think when you look at Morelos' disciplinary record, and I don't think Lafferty's in a great place just now, so a striker would be number one priority, definitely. Other than that, I think they're looking good through midfield and defence.
Can I throw this in? Yeah. Because you know the World League's well. Would it have been worth Rangers spending not a lot of money?
I know the player you're going to say.
Stephen Dobie.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. 100%.
Yeah. And he said, he's lived the dream. I know he's 35. Mm-hmm. He's lived the dream. He's go back to Queen of Saudi. He made his money in England, all of that. Lovely fairy story, and the only club he would go to was Rangers. It was of course it was at Rangers. Would that have been worth a gamble? Is that a patchwork job? Because
I think you're right. We spoke to a couple of people about Sadiq, and you know what, he lambast the guy and make him the scapegoat. But just judging on that 90 minutes, and I was hearing and watching him in the flesh as Charlie did too. I would say before I'd have Curtis Main, I'd have Lauren Shankland, I'd have Stephen Dobie, I'd have a number, I'd have Eamon Brophy, Greg Stewart, I'd have a number of strikers before I would have Sadiq, and maybe that's just something to do, just something different, and go and try something like that.
I think Scottish football and the big clubs in general have been very guilty of ignoring clubs that are players that lower down the, you know, well, we've talked about Lewis Ferguson, you know, who came from Hamilton. Okay, Hamilton, of course, Premiership Club, but sometimes I think they have to look around. You see players, you've talked about Shankland at Air United, and a guy who's maybe gone beyond it now, but I thought Michael Moffat was another guy. Why did he never get a
good player?
Simon, that you think, why have they never gone and taken these guys within the Scottish game? It's, you know, Lewis Morgan's one of the recent ones that has gone, but he stuck out a sore thumb, but there are other players. You think you could do a job?
Mm-hmm. And even the Livingston boys who played in League One, look at how they've came up and done great in the SPL. So, I think people are surprised about the quality in League One and in the Championship. You know, guys couldn't, if they're playing with better players, it'll make them better as well. But on the point with Dobie and Shankland, two Rangers supporters as well. I mean, they gave their lot on Saturday. Guys like Sadiq, does it really bother him? He's going to go back to Roma after he's not. Does it bother him?
It strikes me as if it. No, it wouldn't.
Someone said to me that Roma don't sign bad players. I don't know if he's a bad player, but I don't know who looked at him and thought he's good enough for Rangers. That's what I would say. And I think, you know, there's an issue there that you know, you wish the boy all the best. I actually thought, to be honest, he did better than I thought he was going to do in the first half.
Yeah.
Which maybe gives you the level of how I thought he was going to do. I'd seen him play before 27 minutes, I think it was, total, collectively, in three games.
Yeah.
You know, the boy doesn't need a chance.
It's tough for him as well, coming into a game like that when he's not played.
I think if you speak to people at Rangers privately, they'll say his attitude, and even when he's had a rocket up his backside a couple of times from the manager and other coaches, looking in the hope that he's going to respond positively to that, you know, he sulks. So
I thought he'd go Kent up front. Honestly, I thought Kent would start up front. Kent looks to me like he's got an eye for a goal. Makes good runs, works hard. I thought Kent would have been the one that started up front. Something a bit different for McKennan, but he went with Sadiq. So,
well, so the game was 1-1-0, as we said, the Lewis Ferguson goal. Just for Derek McInnes, Chick, you're there, and you could see clearly how much it meant to him as well, because there's one or two wee mumblings of discontent from the Aberdeen supporters. Derek's been there 5.5 years, and you look now, you strip your Drake back. That's the third domestic cup final in the chalk, consistently finished second, and you think, you know what, the guy's not been treated fairly this season, I don't think.
Well, they were chanting his name at the end, but you're right, it could easily have gone the other way. I think there is a pocket, maybe more than a pocket, of Aberdeen fans who don't fancy him. I think much of that was to do with his procrastination over the Rangers job, and was he going to go back because they clearly don't fancy Rangers as a club. But you know, you have to look and see what you've got as a manager. You know, you just have to try and hang on to a guy like that as long as you possibly can. The expectation level is sometimes too high. He managed it. It was a peculiar route in the way they defeated Rangers, as we've discussed, but that's not the point. Semi-finals about getting through. I remember way back, Mark, when St Mirren won the Cup in 87, and St Mirren had lost three semi-finals. And I remember having a conversation with Alex Smith saying, look, it doesn't matter what you do, you can lose the final, you just got to get through the semi-final and get into the game against Dundee United, which they did, and all the pressure was off. So what's happened now? Aberdeen are getting to that final, and there is no pressure on Aberdeen now. Celtic are heavy favourites. They've got the biggest share of the crowd here at Hampden. They're going for a treble. They're our League Cup win. They win astonishing. Aberdeen can, on the face of it, relax. We know that's not what happens in dressing room, but they can relax and go on with the job. I think it was a massive win for Aberdeen. And I think Derek McInnes, and you know, I interviewed him at the end, Mark, and he looked, although he was speaking in a high, he looked physically drained. You know, he just, the emotion, you watch him, he never, in fairness, neither did Steven Gerrard, they never left that touchline for the 90 minutes. Yeah. And the two of them, and Derek just looked, you know, just emotionally drained at the end of it. But of course, when you're in the bus up the road, you realise you're in a final. Yeah, great.
I think, Simon, you know Derek, we all know him. And for me, when Chick's talking about the strain there and the pressures, for all managers, but I would imagine that it must really get to a manager in terms of, you know, when you hear your own supporters having a pop at you and you think, you know, they've got short memories. You look at Aberdeen, what he's achieved in 5.5 years, and compare that to the record of the 5.5 years before.
I've seen it 9th and 8th in
the club, you know, and you look at it, cup finals, semi-finals, consistently, losing Kenny McLean, losing Ryan Christie in the summer. Ryan Jack and countless others, and you think, you know what, it's cruel sometimes the way managers get treated by their own.
Actually, it angers me. Because, as you say, we know Del, and he works so hard. And see, when you're in his company, he's a great guy. And speaking to players that play for him, Tony Watt has trained him, players love him. They love playing for him, they love his training. And Aberdeen fans should really be careful what they wish for him. I even see on Twitter saying that they were angry that they never went up against Rangers, never took the game to Rangers. Why would you? Rangers have got better players.
Still having a pop on Twitter.
I see it on Twitter. And you think, why would you go and take Rangers on? They've got better players. His game plan worked. Hit them on the counter-attack, get a set piece and it wins. And as you say, he loses his best players every year. And I just see it as a Dundee United situation with Jackie McNamara. Mm-hmm. You know, loses his best players every year. Has a bad start to the season. They get rid of him and look at the state they're in now.
Short memories. Look what the Chelsea fans give Mourinho after what he did for the club. Yeah. You know, and yeah, Derek McInnes is. And I talked to him on Sunday and it was quite good in the interview. He said, listen, I was a Rangers player for so many years and I know what it means to the club. And he had an insight into what they'll be going through and the pressure they were on, which he clearly used for his team talk, I think, with his own players, which I thought was very insightful. And he is a great guy. I must tell you a story, actually, going back a long number of years. I used to go to a restaurant in the south side of Glasgow, a little place where it was karaoke. And you know, I like a wee karaoke, man. And
you bit of Neil Diamond.
Yeah, well, funny you should mention that because... Derek came in with his wife and some friends, and me and my pal have a friend who thinks he is, his name's Andy Bruce, but he thinks he is Elvis Presley. So
we were coming. Andy. Anytime you're looking for a car, Andy
Bruce. Yes, or a song. So anyways, the point of the story is Derek came in and we're getting to the karaoke, and Derek, I said, I'm going to say, he was a bit nervous. And I said, what do you do? He said, Neil Diamond, Crackle and Rosie, which is my song, Simon. I said, on you go, Derek, be no problem. On you go, first up. So we're sitting down at the table and Derek gets up to sing. I thought Neil Diamond had come into the restaurant. I'm saying to the boys, I'll do about Barry Manilow.
Was he good?
Oh, he's brilliant. What a singer.
Is
brilliant.
He, yeah?
Brilliant. Swine.
So, anyway, well done to Derek from everyone at here at Open Goal. Finally, can they win it?
No, I don't think so. I think Celtic have got the touch over them here at Hampden, didn't they? I think it'll be a close game. I do. I think he'll set up his team well, as he always does. It'll be a close one, but just going on previous finals and the quality of Celtic players, you've got to fancy Celtic.
Chick, Celtic, 7 domestic trophies in the trot.
Well, your question was, can they win it? Of course they can win it. Will they win it? Listen, if you were to put money in my hand, which is unlikely, and tell me to go and bet with William Hill now, of course I'd put it on Celtic. But fairy stories happen sometimes for Aberdeen fans. Listen, I can skirt around this for the next 2 hours. I think Celtic will win the cup.
Right, I'll speak to you about your fee. Moving on, Hearts v Celtic. We'll touch on the other semi-final through at Murrayfield in Edinburgh. Celtic, Simon, comfortable winners in the end, but did you always feel it was going to be that way?
I never actually seen the game because I was doing that A-licence on Sunday.
Oh, passing opinion anyway. Start stopping those people.
We were watching me and the boy
you don't
next
to see
us.
The game again.
He got the game up on his laptop while the guy was speaking. So we were sitting watching it. Within 5 minutes, man, the guy in charge came and slammed the laptop shut, raging, out of order. But I think when Naismith went off, the game was in Celtic's hands. Such a big play for Hearts, especially when the big striker's missing and Suter's missing. I thought the guy that came on, no being harsh, I thought he was a bit of a passenger, the guy that came on for Hearts. And after Naismith went off, I thought Celtic looked comfortable.
Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I've given my opinion about the penalty earlier on and the second goal. I mean, Christie's goal was brilliant. And there are side issues out there. Ryan Christie, who I think Aberdeen were hopeful he was going to go back to Pittodrie. Yeah. I think that's
put the tin hat on
that, I would say, a contract there. You know, and Celtic grind it out when you think there's a little bit of a crack in the enamel. They just seem to come back. I hope they can get through in the European competition. The odds are stashed against them now. But I just think that, you know, they just dig it out when they need to dig it out. And Callum McGregor is such, you know, he just plays anywhere now, doesn't he? You think he just never
goes. Looked much better with him centre midfield than Kwasi, I thought.
And you know, the job. Listen, one of the other issues about this was the whole thing about Murrayfield and Hampden. Here at Hampden, it's too far from the pitch. I was watching that game at Murrayfield. You just set up binoculars to see what's going on there. I mean, you need to sit. It's just ridiculous. I'm so glad the decision was made the way it was made. And of course, there's work needing done here at Hampden. But Murrayfield, to me, I just don't get it. And I heard the boy from the SRU going on pontificating about BT Murrayfield and all that. Football was made to be here at Hampden. I just don't see it. The Murrayfield got the game out of jail.
Yeah.
Our game out of jail on Sunday. I see that. But
they get a very handsome six-figure rental fee for it, though.
Yes, well, you'd be very pleasant talking about that if you're some, because you know,
you get that for all your flats that you've got, don't you?
That's what I'm getting for today.
Speak to you later. What up, Ryan Christie?
Good player.
Guy, he's not featured a lot for Celtic, but it just shows that the mentality got him. We're talking about guys, you know, taking the huff and not giving 100%. He just came on and absolutely says, you know what, this is an opportunity for me, I'm going to grasp it.
Ryan Christie ended my Dundee career. We played them in Inverness. Paul Hartley said to me, you man Mark Christie. Wow, fucking torrid of him, man. I think he nutmegged us twice. And I remember after it, because Yogi quite well, spoke to Yogi after it and said, what about the boy Christie? And Yogi honestly said, that boy will go and play, he'll play for a Celtic, he's that good. Bulked up, he looks like he's bulked up, he looks like a man now. I think his dad was a right good player as well, so Ryan Christie is a very good player, very good. He's got everything, he's got great awareness, he's similar to McGregor for me. You know, he sees the space around him, he knows where he is on the pitch, he knows where his players are, he can set up goals, he can score goals. I think he's got a right good chance of being
just
a Celtic
just for the record, his old man Charlie was a good player. Charlie was playing, yeah, and you know, just didn't maybe. Charlie was short, I think, in self-belief and a wee bit arrogance, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's realised that he missed that boat and he maybe he's pumped it into his lad, which is, yeah, he's quality. And again, Mark, it's like I highlighted earlier on about players going and getting players from Scottish teams, Scottish clubs. There's Ryan.
£400,000-£500,000.
You know, why look away when you know, look around the country there.
Yeah.
There's players, and you know, but John McGinn's another one, but I mean, there are players. When Stevie Mallon was at St Mirren, why did nobody come and get Stevie Mallon? McGinn, McLean, okay, McLean went to Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, these
you
guys are enough of the offer.
Ryan Fraser.
Yeah.
You know,
he's flying, isn't he?
Look at what he's doing. Look at Simon. Simon was on the bench for 90 minutes for Peterhead. He's available on Saturday. Couldn't they get on against
That was AstroTurf. It's not a day with performances.
Oh, Clyde on AstroTurf.
It's Astro. Well, I was on the bench for 90 minutes. Come on.
I did actually. I looked. I thought.
So was it Broadwood?
Broadwood, huh?
So you're not going to go to Peterhead, obviously. Just handy. It was handy.
Oh no, Peterhead's the team for me. Check.
It's Norway, isn't it?
he's well rated up at Peterhead, believe it or not.
By who?
The fisherman.
Jimmy Mack.
So Lynette, you're getting into.
So for Celtic, I mean, they had the St Johnstone results just before the international break. The Hibs, great 90 minutes against Hibs. Europe, they just kind of get it going for whatever reason in Europe. But then again on Sunday when they needed to, they stepped up. Are Celtic now putting that marker down, Charlie, and saying, okay, we had a wee bit of a dip, but here we are again?
It's almost as if they've been teasing the rest of the league for, you know, the autumn. And come on, come and see if you're good enough, and we'll give you a wee chance, and then, you know, but we're ready now. Let's start the engine. Just let's start plowing through the winter. And that's the sense I get. You know, how long would it be till Celtic are top of the league? Not very, in my opinion. You know, we've already discussed the Betfred final. They've got to be favourites for that, and then the Scottish Cup campaign kicks off. I just would like it to be underlined. Whatever happens within our little outcrop of rock in the North Atlantic, I'd like our teams to be sending a message to the rest of Europe that, you know, the game is still breathing here, and that's why I would like Celtic to bounce on in the Europa League. And that, I think that's very important for Brendan Rodgers, but you just hope it's not a lost cause now, and indeed for Rangers as well. But yes, in domestic terms, I think they've got the engine starting now and they're starting to rumble.
You're talking about, you know, interviewing managers trackside as you do time and time again. Do you now notice a difference in Brendan Rodgers' manner and body language? Like, not more body language experts in the past couple of weeks compared to 8-9 weeks ago. Do you notice a difference?
Yeah.
In him?
Do you mean as he going back to?
As if he's got a springy back, step again.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm. I think he didn't seem very downbeat a couple of months ago.
There were issues, clearly. You know, some of them which came out. At the time, well, you know, the McGinn thing, other players getting away, was he getting the players he wanted? It made public he'd been wooed by a job in China. He admitted he turned that down. There have been other jobs for sure that he may not have been offered, but his representatives have been sounded out about. And that, you know, if I'm Brendan Rodgers or someone at that level, I think I'd be worried if I wasn't being sounded out, you know. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. But his stock remains high. But yes, I think you're right. I think he seems a calmer individual. Not that he was ever, I think I've ever seen him stressed. The thing about Brendan Rodgers is you can ask him any question, and he always has a wee pause to think about it, but he'll give you an answer. He'll never say that's a ridiculous, not that I've ever asked a ridiculous question.
Sure.
But he'll never say that. And he's an interesting man too. I always think that when you interview him, it's actually more of a conversation you have with him. He'll choose to give you, and a couple of times he's I think deliberately dropped things into it.
Like you said with Stephen Gerrard, he uses his media conference as well, doesn't he? He uses them to his.
Yeah, I thought Gerrard spoke very well after, as we talked about after the game on Sunday. But yeah, I think Celtic. I don't see any. I mean, people are saying he'll be away. Brendan will be away. In the middle of the season, he'll go to fill in blank. Oh, Real Madrid job's available. Maybe that would be. Would that be interesting?
Yes, fluent in Spanish.
Yes, fluent in Spanish. I think he takes Italian lessons as well.
Yes, he does indeed. Simon, just in a wee incident, we'll get your take on it finally before we move on to Hearts and the Edinburgh Derby. Kouassi and McLean, how do we put it? The tug in the privates.
I'd pay him a tenner to do that to me.
I hear it's getting called Bosgate.
No. Do you think Steve McLean will get done for it? Surely
I hope
not.
It's nothing, eh? Did Kouassi go off because of that?
I don't think so.
He sent him a bunch of flowers.
I thought it was his birthday, didn't he, Kouassi? Oh, no, I hope he doesn't get done. That happens all the time. Happens all the time, God. Nobody'd be on the pitch if you got sent off for stuff like that, do you know what I mean? Nothing for me.
So leave it alone and move on.
Okay. Did you enjoy that? You ever get up to that at the fives now?
I think you should have bought me a drink first.
I should have bought.
Aye. Anyway, we'll move on. So Hearts, we're going to speak about the Edinburgh Derby. We'll touch on Hearts here on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Charlie, the referee's looking at his watch for the last 7 or 8 minutes of the programme. I'm Mark Goody, joined by our special guest, Chick Young, and our own Simon Ferry. So, big game tomorrow night at Tynecastle, Hearts v Hibs. Will the defeat and the manner of the defeat on Sunday for Hearts, will that have a psychological damage going into this game tomorrow night, Simon?
Oh, I think more the injury to Stephen Naismith will have. If he's not playing, I think it's a massive loss to Hearts. I seen Brendan Rodgers speaking about Naismith before the semi-final, about how good a player he was doing south at Everton. He's no doubt been Hearts' best player this year. I think his loss will be massive.
Yeah, because you're taking him away. You're taking Nick Piazza away and at the top of the pitch, and also at the back, Suter. Yeah, that, you know, it's well known. And I think Peter Haring, the middle of the parts, yeah. I doubt as well.
Really?
He's been a real force for them. So as much as the game's at Tynecastle, the Hibs going to be favourites, Charlie?
Well, that's a good question. I'd like to find out what William Hill have to say about it. But for me, yeah, the tide maybe has turned a little bit. Hearts, you know, what a start to the season I've had, still top of the league. They want to maintain that. And I don't think you can just dispose of the issue of all these injured players. Eventually it has to kick in. You've lost too many good players. And you know, we're all said and done, the game is about players and the ability they have. And I think that's a factor. Hibs have a terrific momentum with them. I remember the days we just used to call it Hibs Nil, Hearts Nil. These days are gone. It's now a game you really want to see. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite good actually having a midweek league's fixture list, you know, with suddenly with a bit of injection back in the game. You go, well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this. Great games, right? I know you want to talk about Hibs Hearts, but through the rest of the fixtures, it's brilliant as well, and it just lifts the whole place. It's a really hard one to call, if I'm being honest. And of course, psychologically for Hearts, the big disappointment, the injuries. Craig Levein's got an incredible job to lift these players, but when you go into that environment, you know, whether it's an Edinburgh derby and everything all around you, you don't tell me you don't walk out that tunnel and go, wow, forget everything else for the next 90 minutes.
But I think the last team that Craig Levein would want to play now is Hibs, because Lenny will go straight for him, fade it off. I think Hibs will start at 100 million.
They don't know any other way, though, that Hibs team, do they?
Go for the jugular,
yeah. Yeah, and I think if Hibs start well, I think it'll be a long
I think Simon, if Hearts walk out of this with a draw, they'll be very happy.
Yeah, definitely.
They would probably take a draw.
I think it
keeps them at the top of the table as well, that point, and they get their game in hand in against Dundee and won the point. So all things considered, I think Hearts wouldn't be disappointed with a point.
I think so. You know, it's been incredible. You know, that'll be us all but into November, and you know that if they're going to top of the league in November, you know, and things, we know long. What was Craig said? There's 5 miles into a marathon, I think his phrase was, and yeah, absolutely. But, you know, but it's just like, I think when you go through campaigns, what there are little cut off points and markers. You know, I remember back in 79, Morton were top of the league at Christmas.
Andy Ritchie.
Big Andy, yeah, well, it was unbelievable. I think there's a certain demise after that, but it's just like you can always say, well, we're top of the league at Christmas, we're top of the, and look back. And I don't think, whatever, I still think Celtic will win the league, but it's not going to be a massive distance, but, you know, it's not going to be by 5 furlongs this time, it's going to be pretty close.
Right, let's turn it round and look at the bottom of the table, Charlie, which won't be giving you much pleasure. They play against Celtic tomorrow night at Dens Park, and St Mirren host Motherwell. Oran Kearney still looking for his first victory. We were certainly there a week past Saturday at the home game against Kilmarnock. It's not looking good for St Mirren, is it?
No, right. I mean, there's no point. It's quite simple here. Jack Ross produced a miracle. Fantastic. The squad of players that he had that won the league, I don't think were going to be good enough to... And Tony Fitzpatrick, who I love and adore, God bless him, with that comment about we're a top six, top four club. No, we're not. And that was just putting pressure on when there was no need to do so. And he did it in an emotional time at the end of last season. I get all that up to a point. But that's not the case. St Mirren have got to stay in this league. Now, I thought Alan Stubbs was a good appointment. But I have to say, the signings, again, you go and look at players and you think, who on earth thought he's good enough for the top level of Scottish football? And St Mirren are peppered. I thought, really curious decisions. They're going to let Cammy Smith, who for me was maybe the best player at the club, go to Livingston. some really dodgy decisions made in the signings, and I look at the players. And for me, St Mirren have to hang on to the coattails of the teams around them until New Year. I know there's money in the bank. I'm sure he's identified players, at least I hope he's identified players already. And he's going to, Jack Ross, remember, in the January, he brought the club to survival, changed 8 players. Mm-hmm. That's what St Mirren are going to have to do, because if St Mirren are the same players they've got now, then they will not survive. And Dundee
straight,
are probably
straight, you think they'll go straight down?
I think if there's, unless there's a change of personnel, and that can't happen mm-hmm. until January, then for me, yeah, I think Dundee will get their act together. You know, Hamilton, you just can't write them off. You know, the Motherwell, and if they can snatch a point, I mean, their best performance has been against Celtic.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I thought against Kilmarnock, the first half, they were pretty good, actually. But you could see what was coming in the second half. And there was, although it was the goal that Simon Scott should have stood. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if the one was over the line. But that would be to look at pathetic excuses. They're just not good enough. They need players. And that is fact. And I think Oran Kearney either has admitted that or certainly privately knows that. And that's just some of the signings for me are just
dreadful. On Wednesday, on tomorrow night's game, at home to Motherwell, like Stephen Robinson, again, a bit of a spotlight going on. Uh-huh. Now, I take it if you could maybe pick one team that you'd want to play against at home at the moment to give you a chance of a victory, Motherwell might be one of them, no?
Or Celtic. I would not be confident, I'm being honest here, Matt, I would not be confident about St Mirren going to play anyone anywhere at the moment. You know, we're here. I don't know on Kearney's worth, we'll find out. I mean, he comes with a huge reputation. He seems to be a guy who's motivated by taking for boxing lessons and also, I mean, because they're playing Motherwell, I don't know, but they're all sorts of issues to try and whatever it takes. Yeah, that's management. Do I think St Mirren will get anything out of Motherwell at Paisley tomorrow? No, I don't.
Well, I seen them at the weekend. Wow, it was a 2-0 doing. I think St Johnston missed 2 penalties. Yeah. Samson had a couple of great saves. Yeah. Even speaking to Liam Craig, I'm not trying to put Liam under the bus, but said it was one of the most comfortable victories I've had all season on Saturday. They've not had that new manager bounce, which is worrying.
It's players. We talked about their own hats.
Why didn't they go and sign the best players for the Championship, St Mirren? I can imagine they could offer them more money this year in the Premiership. Why not go and sign the best players for the Championship last year that you played against, instead of getting these unknown guys for down south?
Well, and money was spent, a lot of money for St Mirren was spent on some of these players. And I mean, you're asking what I assume is a rhetorical question. I have no idea why they wouldn't go and source players. And indeed, people like Gavin Riley, who would have, you know, to name but one, would have done a job that I just find it utterly, utterly bizarre that they signed the players they have, and they're clearly not good enough, and they need to find players. And I assume that they might, just as Jack Ross did in that miraculous January a couple of years back, that he can do, or last year, that he can do the same again. That's
every club that goes and gets these loan players brings loads of loan players into their club. It never works. Why do they keep doing it? Falkirk are in the same position.
One guy I think though is, and against Kilmarnock, I thought he looked the part, just a bit of presence in beside Steve McGinn and Matty Willock. I think he can maybe if he can go, if he's got something, then the movement excuse me, and he's only going to get fitter. But I was impressed with the movement of Simeon Jackson.
Nah, he's a good player, Jackson.
As well. Think,
Ryan Edwards as well.
If they can jail, you know, I think that they might. You know,
they might one or two. I mean, they're not without. Maybe I sounded like I was whiting the board with every single player. No, you're right to put. And Sammy's been unbelievable in goals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're not totally without hope, but they definitely need players. You know, and you look at Hamilton Accies and you think, how do they keep doing this? You know, they're not paying a king's ransom for wages, but they seem to find players.
They're on it together, though, Hamilton. There's no lone boys at Hamilton. You know, it's a squad of players that are on it together. Maybe Hamilton. They're all fighting to stay in the league every year.
It just shows you we've got a lot in common with them. As Chick says, we don't pay a king's ransom either. Right, as Chick's about to find
and
out.
And I'm a lone player.
Moving on, Scotland situation. James McArthur announced yesterday, we could probably see it coming, but after 32 caps for his country, he's decided to stand down. Surprised at that, Simon?
Big excuse. Since James done it, I've decided to announce my...
Oh, no.
From open goal.
Exclusive. No. If you're out, I'm out.
seen it coming, didn't you? Pulled out the last couple of squads. I think as he's back, he gets quite a bit of bother with having back problem myself. It is the worst pain you can have. And I think when you're playing at that top level like he is at Crystal Palace, you're probably making the money that you are. You want to do it as long as you can. Yeah. You know, if he's 32 now, he probably thinks, if I can play another couple of years in the Premier League for my family and my wife and kids, then... For himself, is it?
He's in that dogfight as well with Palace.
It's tough.
And it's a credit to him. Charlie, you look at me, we're talking about Hamilton Accies and Lewis Ferguson. You look, James McArthur, we were all raving about him a decade ago, and what a career he's made for himself.
I know, that seems 10 minutes ago. Yeah. The boy's wonder coming out of... Yeah. Of Hamilton and McCarthy and MacArthur, and you think he's 32. How did that happen?
I know.
How did that happen? Uh-huh. I mean, I respect the decision. I mean, from the Tartan Army's perspective, are they wailing at the walls? Are they renting their clothes? James McArthur, talented player, 32 caps, excellent, respect it. If Faddy at his peak had walked out, maybe in a more upset. I know, I respect it. Scotland will power, and it's an area where. I think we are well served. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're well served anywhere. we totally understand the reason Simon said why he's done it. Good luck. Thank you. Next.
You know, he made these, you know, who he came on for his debut as well. It's a mad thing for you.
For Scotland or Hamilton?
For Hamilton. Derek Ferguson.
Is that right? Aye.
Spooky.
Seen that on Twitter the other day.
Oh, it's just... Take that stat for yourself. That's a great stat.
What is this Twitter thing?
You need to get yourself on.
No,
it.
I don't.
No, Jack, I don't. Put your typewriter away, Charlie. What's
that? Hang on, you got my pigeons back. That's what it's called, Twitter pigeons.
Is that right? He came on for.
He came on for Derek Ferguson in his debut for Hamilton.
Bro. And do you know what? There's your point, because
Derek was 48.
Rangers been linked with James McArthur. Celtic been linked with James McCarthy. At that time, and it goes back to your point that you keep touching on through this programme, Charlie. It's a shame when you see, and it's lovely to see them blossom in the top flight, but the other boys went to Wigan under Roberto Martinez, but it was a shame that we lost the Scottish game, actually lost them.
Yeah, I, they're ultimately, if you're truly gifted, then you will end up in the big money, but I just think there's a time when, you know, particularly Rangers and Celtic, who have got more resources, go and have a look and bring these guys in. And Celtic have done it with Christie and, you know, one or two others. But Scott Brown, actually, there's the classic example of all. Mm-hmm. Kevin Thompson went to Rangers, never quite worked out for him as well as it did for Scott Brown. So there are examples of them. Go and get the Scottish players. But even if you get them for a couple of years, then they make the move, you know? Like, it's back to where we started, really. But, you know, good luck to young Lewis, who's gone. And would you bet against him ending up? Lewis Ferguson end up in England, but you'll have three or four good years at Aberdeen first.
Yeah, he certainly looks destined for a big future in the game. Well,
a
that's right. We're back to
anyway.
Well, that's right. We're back to start. We'll be joined with his dad on Thursday on the William Hill Cooping programme with Simon Ferry and Frank McAvaney. We've had a fantastic go, Charlie. What's that? 50 odd minutes.
Double time of
Chick Young. And Simon Ferry, thanks very much for joining us on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We're now going to go away and count up Chick's £4.40 fee.
Put your shirt back on now, Chick.
Well, he tells us the story of why he resigned from Butlins. We'll join you next week. Goodbye.